Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone to Trent White Sports Radio Show. Back on the air, back ready to go. Football's over, we got a lot to talk about, but I'm not going to go back and try to prove myself as a genius or anything, but what I'm going to do is say, overall, it's been a pretty crappy NFL season, I think. And what I think is you're seeing a lot of turnover. You're seeing a lot of the older guys starting to go out, the Mannings. We would want to say Brady if he's struggling, but he's playing good football. But you see guys like Peyton Manning, a few of the older players going out. You see new guys coming in. You see the old powerhouse teams kind of struggling. But you have some teams like Buffalo who just been staying the same for the past 16 years. So we're going to talk some NFL football. I'd like to thank all you guys sending me emails, wondering when I'm coming back on. You know, I'm unlike any other show, just happy that I'm not ran by anyone, because when I don't feel like doing something, I won't do it. And I don't do it because I'm lazy, because of what I scout, I do other things. So I don't have the time to really come on here. I'm very reluctant just to hire someone and put them on air, just to put them on. I have a rep to maintain, and that's something I'm going to really trash. But we're going to talk some rugby. You guys know I picked up rugby. I'm trying to get a lot of rugby coverage here. I'm going to be giving rugby a lot of my time. And I have Tui Osborne, former USA rugby player. He'll be on at 8:05 today. We're going to talk to him about rugby, talk to him about how he got on the U.S. team, and what his thoughts are now on seeing rugby grow in the sport. But really quick here, we're going to get on the actual NFL. And I'll tell you what, if you ever had a team that wanted to show they're a playoff team, that wanted to show that they deserve some respect, that wanted to show anything, it's the New York Jets. Pretty good defense. Not a bad team. Just so happened the AFC plays out in a way to where so many teams who have good records aren't going to be in. If the Jets beat the Bills, Pittsburgh's not in, which I thought was crazy. So if you're a Steelers fan, you say, you know what, the Jets going to go in there. The Bills are depleted. They have guys hurt. McCoy's hurt. Their whole secondary's messed up. You know what, this team hasn't been playing good all year. They're inconsistent. We're going to go in there and smash them. Are you kidding me? 35-mile-an-hour winds down there in the field, they're throwing like 30, 40 times. The Buffalo Bills, who have nothing to play for, and who is using guys in the backfield who half the fans haven't heard of, find a way to beat the Jets. And I think if I'm a Jets fan or if I'm a Jets player, you better get off the Ryan Fitzpatrick bandwagon, because I was on it because I'm pulling for the guy. But I tell you what, it just so happened. There's a reason why he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a backup playing starter, and in certain situations, he's going to look like a starter. He's going to do just enough to get you over the hump. And in this case, he helped the Jets get to the place to where they can get to the playoffs if they win the game against the depleted Buffalo Bills. But I will say this, it's a division rival. No matter what the score is or what the record is, these guys are going to play hard no matter what. And the Bills are out there. Some guys are playing for contracts. Some guys are playing for roster spots. Some guys are playing to prove they're the quarterback in the future. They just weren't going to lay down. I get that. But come on, Jets. You couldn't come in here and beat a Buffalo team. All you had to do is score first. Go up 10-0, the Bills would have fell apart. No, you want to play around and leave it to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And let me tell you something right now. There's a reason he's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look, I like the guy. I pull for him. He's an underdog. But let's be honest. He lacks arm strength. He lacks a lot. He could manage your team until you find your guy. But if you want Ryan Fitzpatrick to lead you past the playoffs and beyond, you're not going to go anywhere. And I don't think the Bills won this game because they were better. The Jets gave them so many chances. The turnover battle. The Jets pretty much gave the game away. Fitz owns three of them on his own. And to see him on ESPN and say, you know, he feels bad. You had a chance. Yeah, you had a chance. You had a big chance. But you threw three interceptions. One in the end zone. Well, I tell you, I give a lot of guys credit. I know when I played, if my quarterback did that, I wouldn't talk to him for a year. The Jets did just enough to win this game. They just couldn't help that they don't have just a strong-arm quarterback. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is not that. So when the Jets get that, they'll be fine. There's a lot of beatdowns that happened today that some people thought weren't going to happen. No one thought that the Seattle Seahawks would go into Arizona and thrash them 36-6. Who thought that? I tell you what, a few of us did, because Seattle's a good team, and it looks like they're going into the playoffs on a high. Who wants to go in on a low? Speaking of going in on a low, what about the Patriots? Huh, the Patriots. I mean, I don't think they're going to go far. They may be a one-and-done team. When I look at the AFC, I kind of break it down, and I break it down into two sections. Who has a team to play in the ugly weather? And who cannot play in the ugly weather? Who can slow the game down and just pound it when they have to? Who doesn't want to slow the game down? And I tell you what, right now, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, as of right now, to me, are the most dangerous team in the AFC playoffs, hands down. I'm not concerned about the Chiefs. I'm not concerned about Denver. I'm not even concerned about the Patriots. Look, the Patriots, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. I get that. But in this case, they're not the same Patriots team. Some guys are still hurt. Some guys are coming back. And I think Pittsburgh is that grindy, black and blue team that nobody wants to face. Nobody wants to face them. They're just a tough, bruising team with a tough, bruising quarterback and with some damn good receivers. And with a hard-nosed coach, Mike Tomlin. To me right now, I'm not going to put them in the favorites yet in the AFC, but they're real close. Matter of fact, they are the favorites right now. I'm not concerned about New England or no one. New England goes down to Miami. You're playing for home field advantage. You got a superstar quarterback, superstar coach, and you can't get by Miami? You can't get by them? And so you expect me to put you above everyone else just because you're the Patriots? Nah, man, I don't roll that way. I roll in the here and now. What you did in the past, that's great. We could talk about it. But as long as you're playing now, I'm looking at you right now. We got Tui Osborne coming on in like 1 minute. We're going to bring him on, talk some rugby. Good experienced guy here. But one more thing before I go to this interview here. The coaches. Someone explained to me this, and I've been saying this for a long time, for a very long time. If you're a CEO and you fail a company and bankrupt it and the company goes just down in the dumps, if you're Kraft, are you going to hire the guy that just crashed another company to come run your company? Probably not. In the real world, no, you don't do that. But in the NFL, the Browns just fired Mike Pennant. Terrible team. Terrible coach, shouldn't have been a head coach in the first place, and once again, we're going to see retreads. The NFL is all about retreads. Once you're a head coach once, you get head coaching jobs when you don't deserve it. Now, this guy got fired today, and he'll be on someone's coaching staff next year. How is that possible? I don't know. But I know there's a lot of guys out there who deserve chances other than these retread coaches. Let's be honest, Buffalo fans. I'm not even a Bills fan. Y'all know I'm from Philly, but I will say this. What did Rex Ryan really do in New York? He didn't do much. He went to the AFC title game. Besides that, didn't do much of anything. But yet when you hired him, you treated him like he was Belichick. I don't understand the NFL. I don't understand pro sports as it is. I just wish I had a job to where I could suck for about 4 years and get another chance. And then get another chance. Some guys had 8 chances in the NFL. 8 chances. And yet, we wonder why, when this coach sucked here, he goes to a team and that team sucks more or they suck even worse. That's why. It's all about a game. If you're part of the crew, you can get those jobs, which I think is a joke. But we're going to talk some rugby here. And you guys all know, I just picked up rugby. I'm going to give rugby just as much of my time, you know, as I do my scouting service, as I do picking up high school kids and, you know, having kids from all around the country on this radio show. I'm going to cover rugby because I like it. And I see it growing, and there's a lot of players here who I feel the media don't give enough credit to or don't give any attention to. And I'll tell you why they don't. They don't see money. That's why I'm growing, fans, because of you, and because I talk to real people. Rugby's the most down-to-earth sport, along with hockey players. I think hockey players are kind of boring when you hear them on an interview. They sound like robots. These rugby guys are like me and you. They just hang out, do their sport, play their sport. They go out to drink with their opponents, which I find pretty amazing. When I played football, I wasn't going out with none of those guys. Not after the game, but in rugby, they do. But we're going to talk some USA rugby here, and just rugby with Tui Osborne. Tui Osborne's a good guy who, you know, was willing to come on the show, talk some rugby. Tui Osborne, thanks for coming on the Trent White Sports Radio Show. Good to have you on, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Trent. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right, you know, just started covering rugby, and, you know, we're talking high school, we're talking college, and I finally get a guy of your caliber and status who played on the USA team. Now, if, when you say USA team, a lot of people think soccer, they think of, you know, winter sports, the track team. As far as rugby, can you just tell us when you played and how was that process to even get to the U.S. team? How'd you try out? Because most people wouldn't know how to even do that. So where'd you start playing rugby at in the first place? And just give us a little background on yourself.
I started playing rugby in California for a men's club. That was back in 2005 and 6. And basically, I'll explain the pathways here in a second, but they have national recruiters and coaches who go to certain tournaments and scout you, and then you get invited to a national tryout camp. And then if you do well there, you obviously proceed. But now they have three pathways of getting to that level or getting to the national team, which is the men's team, playing in your local men's club and trying to get to your all-star territorial team. And second is coming through the high school channels, going up to high school All-Americans, then making the U-20s, then obviously the All-Stars, and then making it, you know, and if you're good enough, making it all the way to the men's national team. And then you have your collegiate pathway, which is through college competitions, which is one of the more popular ones here because a lot of young athletes are still in school and they make it through that pathway, and you'll see a lot of our national team who have come through that pathway, both high school and mostly college, which is great. And fortunately for me, you know, I did well in the club competition, and I was scouted by the coach then and made it to one of the tryouts, and I was fortunate enough to get selected.
All right, you know, that sounds like a very extensive way to do it, but there's three different ways to do it. And so, you know, the college way is probably the most popular. You played for a club team, and you got picked that way. But my question is, you know, when you go off of this team and when you're just playing for the love of the game, was that your goal to make the U.S. team or just snuck up on you?
It was a goal growing up in a country that, you know, is predominantly rugby as a national sport. I grew up in Fiji and picked up the ball pretty young, so it was a goal of mine to play at that level.
Well, you know, just saying that, you know, I think it's cool how you guys go about the process, but, you know, help me out here. When you get to the U.S. team, does the U.S. team play other countries? Of course you would think so, but how does that work here when you go play? I mean, how many events have you played in? Is there like Olympics for rugby, or what kind of tournaments and events does the USA compete in that you competed in?
So there's two forms of the game. There's the 15-a-side game and the 7-a-side game, which is seven men against seven on the same size pitch. Right. And there's two different seasons for it. And in the seven man game, there is a World Rugby series that goes on, and they accumulate points. So you have you're playing against other countries. And the U.S. is actually doing well in that, and it's the first time the Olympics is going to have rugby again since the last time they had it. I don't remember what year, but the U.S. is going to be in the Olympics this year in Brazil, so that would be exciting to watch. And the 15-man game is 15 on 15 on the same size pitch, and that has the season as well, and that's more of a all-year-round type of thing around the world, but they have the World Cup every 4 years.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the 7-on-7 and the 15-on-15, I take it New Zealand is tough in both categories, or are they stronger in the 15?
They're both. They're strong in both.
Yeah. Yeah, now, you know, when you look at dominant teams, like the U.S. is dominant in basketball worldwide, wouldn't New Zealand be that team in rugby that is a top team, or are we talking South Africa, or, you know, what are we talking here?
New Zealand would be the best team in the country right now, in the world,
Yeah, you know, because I just got an email here. Do you see the USA growing in these sports? Like, you know, when you were playing, did it get better? since you played to now, or did you see it getting better when you were playing?
Oh, definitely. The sport has grown in the U.S. and especially in the age grade level, and that's credit to the organization USA Rugby, what they've done for the game in the U.S. I think the number has tripled in the amount of athletes that are picking the game up, including women.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just got a quick email again. Fans were asking here, what is the difference between 15 and 7-on-7? I understand it's more people, but is the game actually different? Is it harder with more guys on the field? I would think it would be. Or on the 7-on-7, is it the same field and is it more space? That's from John from Florida.
There's more space. Obviously, you want quicker guys, stronger and more skillful guys who can throw about 10 to 30 meter pass off of both hands and be able to beat a defender one on one and run faster, and you know, obviously the more athletic guys on the pitch.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Sounds tiring more, you know, 7-on-7, but you know, I watch a few games on TV when I get a shot, and I tell you, it's a very interesting sport, and it looks really fun. There's a lot that goes into it. And is rugby a sport, something like football and basketball, where most guys played from when they were little to be successful? Or can you just start late and be successful? How does that work? Like, can you pick it up in high school and just flourish? Or is it something where more of the guys who are really good start when they're very young?
It depends. We have a wide range of athletes here in the U.S. And I have friends who picked it up in college and they've succeeded. And so it's all relative, and like I've had friends also pick the ball up the same time as me, and like I said, it depends on how quickly you can learn, and that's the beauty about rugby, is it's a very easy sport to learn, and you know, if you have the tools and the talent, I think you can pick it up any time along your career and be successful.
Yeah, Tua, you know, I know you're not playing now, but tell us what you're doing now to help grow the sport and to share to the kids your knowledge and your experience. What are you doing these days to try to, you know, to try to keep rugby going?
Thanks. I've actually picked up coaching since I've been down in Atlanta for the last 7 years. Been coaching at a rugby university, Life University, in Atlanta, Georgia. Been doing that for the last 4 to 5 years, and I've actually grown to love it and grown to see the reward of having student athletes succeed on and off the field, and that's my passion. And now I've moved up to New York, and I've had the pleasure of meeting players at the program I'm at and the institution that I'm at St. Bonaventure, and it's a new challenge for me, but I'm loving it, and there's a lot of room to grow, and I'm excited.
You know, speaking of St. Bonaventure, as far as that team goes, what are you walking into? Is this team starting to get established? Are you getting more people coming out? You know, is there a good basis there to start a good program at that school you're at now in St. Bonaventure?
Definitely. This school, not a very big school, but very very tight-knit group, and the school is very supportive of the program. You know, kudos to Coach Clarence, who's built the program up to where it's at, and a lot of the senior players that won't be with us next year, they've helped as well, and also the alumni has played a huge part in you know, keeping this program together, and I'm actually lucky to be part of it.
Yeah, quick email here, Coach. I mean, I know you have to go soon, but a person wants to know: did you ever consider going to play for the Fiji team, or actually going back to help the kids in Fiji with rugby at some time in your life? Not now, but do you plan to do that one day?
It's in the trail of thought in the back of my head. One day we'll probably decide to move back to warmer weather, but for now it's Buffalo, New York, and my wife is from here, so it's home for now, and we're enjoying it.
Hey, Tua, you know what, man? You just got a job at St. Bonaventure. I'm not trying to tie you up. These fans are asking questions. So, St. Bonaventure, if you're listening, he's going to be your coach for a while. That just caught me off guard there. But, hey, that's good. You know, I think you had to adjust to the weather when you came here. I'm sure, you know, you've probably been here a while, but this is cold weather. And, You know, rugby is a spring sport when you start, correct?
In this region.
Yeah. Yeah, in this region is spring. Quick question before I let you go. You know, you're seeing the sport grow amongst kids. You have a lot of parents who are worried about football, and there's equipment. And then you have rugby, and there's no equipment. And as many times as I try to explain to parents that, look, injuries happen in any sport. Injury can happen in, you know, table tennis. You could sprain your elbow. You could hurt your wrist. Football, there's injuries, of course. Guys moving full speed, but their intention is to hurt you. In rugby, it seems like there's more of a controlled tackle. Yes, they look rough and brutal, and yes, guys do get clocked and guys do get hurt. But what do you say to parents who say to me, look, I don't want my kid playing football, and I definitely don't want to play rugby. You can't tell me they're not getting hurt because they have no equipment. How do you go to a parent whose kid wants to play, but the parents kind of stonewall and say, no, I'm going to protect you because I don't trust the sport? What do you tell a parent?
I think it's just a little bit of misinformation. The sport has evolved immensely since the amateur days, and there's a lot of laws around rugby that protects the player itself. So
right.
That's why the game has grown immensely in the high school level, and the numbers have gone up. And I would, you know, I would tell parents out there, you know, have another look, take a bit more time to pay attention to the rules and how the kids really actually play the game and how they protect it. And that would be my advice.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and you know, Tui, that's going to be the thing now. For rugby to grow, there's one thing you will have to get by: all the attention on football, concussions. And I think any contact sport now amongst parents seems dangerous, but I think rugby is going to grow regardless, but I think it'll grow even more. Parents kind of want to find rugby as an alternative to football, and some parents think they're the same. Look, I played football. They're not the same at all. In football, I was a running back. Guys tried to physically hurt me. You know, it was all, you know, they tried to physically hurt me. In rugby, I'm sure you have some rough players, but overall, if you watch a game, it seems structured. Everyone has a job to do. You know, there is contact, but not the same contact as you see in football. Is that correct?
Yes, you're very right.
Yeah, you know, so that's going to be the biggest thing. So, Coach, you know, it's been good to have you on. I could talk to you a lot more. A few more emails came through. I had some questions for you. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to try to keep in touch with St. Bonaventure. You guys start in the spring. And how long is the schedule for you guys? You know, because what I want to do is really get a big grip on these guys and UB, St. Bonaventure, all the rugby players here, and try to keep your records updated so fans know what's going on. But when does it start? When will you guys? When will you have a schedule? When, you know, how can we see your games?
So we have a 7 spring season, and then we have a 15 fall season. So our main season would be the 15s in the fall. And in the spring, we play the 7-man game.
All right, Coach.
That starts in April.
Okay, starts in April. Okay, well, we'll definitely be on top of that. Hopefully we can come down and catch a game, bring some of the players on who are doing well. And really quick, Coach, one more email about recruiting for your team. People want to know, is there a chance that American players can go overseas like they do in baseball? Like when you want to play baseball or football, if you make it, you come to the U.S. where it's bigger. Is there any Americans that have a chance or have the opportunity to train over in Europe?
Yes, we have about, I want to say, almost 15 Americans in pro teams in Europe.
Oh, okay, wow.
So,
wow. And so let me ask you a question, Coach. Coach, let me ask a quick question. Is there a talent difference between those guys? You would think there is a talent difference between the players here and the players who are getting trained over there where the sport's actually big. Is it the best players or good players who can make it that go over there? How would you like kind of define the players here and some of the Americans who go overseas? Of course they get the better training overseas, right? Or that's just a misconception?
The training facilities over there is more tailored towards rugby. I think if there's we now the U.S. rugby has implemented academies all over the country, which helps a ton. And I think if we give that in the next 4 or 5 years, you'll see you know, a lot more players sticking around. And I forgot to mention the inclusion of a pro league in the spring it's going to happen. So we're just, you know, just waiting to see that take place and launch. And if that gets off the ground, you'll see a lot more transfer athletes as well. And, you know, and then and athletes that are on the verge of looking for contracts overseas who might want to just stick around and be with their families, but train in a professional level and get paid professionally.
All right, Coach. So you know what? And when that happens, I'm going to be right there. It's kind of what I'm looking for. It's great to hear that's going to be taking off. But, Coach, you know, thanks for coming on. We're going to have you on again. We're going to talk to you some more. We're going to follow you guys, and hopefully the sport gets to where you want it to be, and I'm sure it will with people like you who are coming from the U.S. team and who have that experience on a local and a worldwide level to help these kids out and to help them grow. I think it's good what you're doing. So, Coach, any final thoughts, Coach? Because I'm pretty excited because, look, there's not many times we get a guy that played on the U.S. team to come back and help and to give back to the kids, but also people like you are going to make the sport grow. So it's kind of a big deal to be coached by you. So any final words, Coach?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to use the sport, you know, to mentor young men and women, you know, for life after rugby or if they choose to go professional. And I'm just happy to be in a position to help them grow as human beings and be better people. So, I'm at St. Bonaventure. We offer about, you know, 42 degrees, undergrad degrees, and a very great school, good location. And if you want to play some rugby, you can give me a call.
Good stuff, Coach. All right, Coach Tui Osborne, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
It's Coach Tui Osborne here on the Trimite Sports Radio Show, former USA rugby player. That's kind of big because, you know, just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I started local guys. Now we're getting guys like him coming on. These guys are pretty good. I mean, these guys are good, and I think, you know, we had John Neese on. We had Coach Conrad on. We had Coach Matt on from Niagara University. We had the coach on from UB who coached the girls. Now we have Tui Osborne, who's coaching at St. Bonaventure, who was on the U.S. 707 team. I mean, look. We're going to give 110% to this sport, and all the fans who are listening, we're going to get what you want. I mean, if you want rugby coverage, we're going to do it 100%. My goal for this show, as I cover rugby, is to be the spot for all the rugby guys to come through. I would like to have games streamed on this site. If you can't make a game, if the game's not on TV, you can hear it on the Trent White Sports Radio Show. We have a lot planned for this, and I want to be able to learn the sport myself. Just because I like it, and I'm starting to meet more and more people. And you know, every guy I meet is a good guy. Every kid I see who plays rugby is a good guy. And all the parents involved in rugby with their kids are good people. So I have no doubt in my mind that the sport's going to grow. I have no doubt in my mind that this sport is going to start getting the attention that it deserves. And hopefully, people will start realizing that it's a safe sport to play. You can't be scared of everything. You can't protect your kid from everything. If a kid wants to play, eventually you got to let him play. And I think if you don't want football, rugby's probably the next best thing. And not just the sport, the people that play the sport, the camaraderie, the lessons that's going to help kids grow is going to be a big deal there. But thank you very much. It's a very short show today. We want to get Coach Tui Osborne on to talk some rugby. We're going to be back on Monday. G-Money, Monday Night Football. Is going to talk playoff selection, how it's going to be set up, the Bills. We're going to talk about Seattle. We're going to talk about the Cardinals, who I thought were just the cream of the crop, but they got beat up today. I'm still going to stick with them for a little bit. We think the NFC is going to be one. The NFC is going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think the AFC is really weak. I think the AFC is struggling. I think the Patriots may taste their first downtrend this year. They may be out early, depending on who they play. The Bengals, even with Dalton out, might make some noise. A lot to talk about. We'll talk about it with G-Money tomorrow. We'll have the kid on to talk some NBA, some college basketball. Look, if you missed the show, just go to Trenton White Sports. I'm gonna throw the link on the sports page. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook at Trenton White Sports. If you didn't hear the show or want to just pass the show off to a friend, just go ahead. I'm going to send the link on there. You guys take care. We will see you later. Back to our hour-and-a-half show tomorrow. And the rest of the week. Take care, guys.